don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your host, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back. I gotta do right before they
call me home. Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. Today's July 11th, 2012. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, the streets don't love you back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes as we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show for you tonight. We have our guest and Mr. Co-host, Lawrence Roth, who we'll bring on in a few minutes. Our topic tonight is teenagers out of control. Now, are you a parent that's struggling with a child who is disrespectful or even abusive toward you? Are you frustrated and exhausted from arguing constantly? Do you find yourself walking on eggshells around your child and trying to avoid saying something that will set him or her off? Are you tired of talking, screaming, punishing, pleading, and negotiating, but your child still walks all over you? The problem is that most parents of strong-willed, out-of-control teenagers have tried very hard to regain control, but with little or no success. And it seems the harder the parents try, the more the teenagers act out. Tonight we're going to hear a few stories. We have some special guests calling in, and we will announce them as they call in. But we have a great show for you tonight. If you have a story, please call in and let us know. Share your comments with us. Our number is 347-826-7273. And let me welcome Boyd to the show.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you all for tuning in every Wednesday night. And we thank everybody who always is out here to not only help themselves, but help others and help these youths and give back. And we appreciate that. And tonight we do got a great show, and we want people to weigh in because it's just a lot of disrespect going on around the country, you know what I mean, when it comes to parents and kids. So we must weigh in on this spoken thing tonight, as we call it, and just see what we can help at in this situation, because we all need somebody to communicate with, because a lot of kids and a lot of parents is going through situations that they need some guidance on. So we just want to do that. But without further ado, I would like to introduce our co-host tonight of this great show, and he will formally introduce himself now.
Thank you, Mr. Boy. My name is Lawrence Roth, and I'm very proud to be part of the show tonight.
My man. So what would you like to start off with for him tonight, Mr. Roth?
Well, first I'd like to let everyone know that I'm going to do a little disclaimer. I'm an employee of the state of Arizona with the Department of Juvenile Corrections, and I've been with them for 11 years, but I'm not speaking for my department, nor am I a spokesman for my department. However, we do have spokespeople that are specifically trained within our department. You can contact us on our website, or you can possibly get one of our speakers through the Arizona government listings, and one of our speakers will be glad to help you or put you with a resource that could possibly assist you with your needs. So I have to give that disclaimer that I'm speaking just as an employee and as a person who's observed youth in 11 years here. I started 35 years ago with the Sheriff's Department back in Cleveland, Ohio. I assisted putting together the Scared Straight program, Mr. Boyd.
Yes, indeed. And we definitely appreciate you bringing that to the forefront to the people. And, you know, we're going to just hit up on the topic tonight because you deal with, you know, troubled kids.
Yes, sir.
He's got a cough going on. he was saying that you deal with troubled teens in your work on a daily basis, and you know, we definitely tonight want you to share a little bit with us about some of the things that you know, you see going on. You know, teens, you know, like I said, tonight we're talking about teens acting out, teens causing trouble, and we're talking more, you know, even worse than just talking back and rolling your eyes and things like that. But we're talking about teens that are cussing at their parents, breaking curfew, breaking the law, using drugs, using alcohol, and being very, very disrespectful, even to the point where maybe they are abusing their parents or using guns, knives, things like that. So, I mean, we're really getting to the you know, the nitty gritty of a lot of problems in society. They're real. A lot of families go through it. A lot of families don't talk about it publicly because, you know, it is hurtful and humiliating and hard for parents to say, you know, my kids are out of control and tend to blame themselves. And we also know that, you know, a lot of teens, the parents don't need to be blamed, but the parents do need to be parents from the time their children are small and teach them decisions and choices and different things. But, you know, parents can be the best parents in the world and do everything right and still have a child that acts out. So there's no perfect situation, and we're not trying to say that there is. We're just trying to reach out and try to help those who are in need of some help and maybe touch someone by what we share tonight.
Would you like me to weigh in?
Yes, indeed.
Well, let me say, first of all, that I very much appreciate this opportunity, and God bless both of you and your movement for the great work you're doing within the community. Let me start off by saying that abuse can affect virtually anyone from all walks of life, including men, women, children, and seniors. It can take the form of physical battery, emotional bullying, sexual abuse, neglect, or even self-inflicted harm. Whatever your situation, you deserve to live without pain and fear. Whether you're the abused, the abuser, or a concerned friend, family member, or neighbor, it's important to know that there is help available. You're not on your own. That's so important. And you can learn about the different types of abuse and what you can do to stop it or prevent it or report it. You can all make a huge difference on your own. And a lot of abuse is tied to drug and alcohol abuse from kids and, of course, adults, self-medicating. And with kids so many times being put in our juvenile justice system, they're taken, they're assessed, and they're seen by doctors, maybe for the first time, clinicians. They're put on medicine, and they, while they're in the community, they're self-medicating. And they're using almost anything to self-medicate, Mr. and Mrs. Boyd. And they're huffing. They're using marijuana, the gateway drug. They're crystal meth, heroin, almost anything they can. Alcohol, just to make themselves feel better, you know, and we call it pain go away medicine. Unfortunately, it's tied into irresponsible behavior and bad choices when they're out of control like that. As you know, they're stealing cars, they're breaking in houses, they're getting in bad situations, having sex with people that they shouldn't be having with. They're doing risky behaviors with breaking in houses, stealing things, going places, doing things that they shouldn't be doing. And oftentimes we ask them, can you connect your crimes, what got you here in prison or in juvenile detention center, with alcohol or drugs? Were you high when you did these things? And 9 out of 10 times, Mr. and Mrs. Boyd, they're going to say, yes, they were high at the time they did these behaviors, but they won't connect it. And there is a National Drug and Alcohol Treatment Referral Routing Service, and I can give you that number if you'd like it.
Yes.
It's if everyone could get their pencils and paper, it's 1-800-662-4357. And I'll give that again. It's a National Drug and Alcohol Treatment Referral Routing Service, and it's free. It's 1-800-662-4357. And basically, I believe it's 24 hours. You can call and leave a message, and someone will get back to you and route you to a treatment center in the city where you live for treatment for the young teens or perhaps a family member. I hope that was helpful.
Definitely. You know, any resources that we have, and we can put that on our website as well, because, you know, if we don't know the answer, we know that we can always find resources for you. And a lot of those you can find online, but we do try to put a lot of them on our website just so that people can go on there and find them easier. But, you know, so 9 out of 10 kids are on drugs when they commit a crime or when they're hateful, and I can vouch for that because I raised stepchildren and children of my own. And I could say that probably most of the times that they were disrespectful to me is when drugs and alcohol were related. And the times that I didn't deserve respect was when I was on using alcohol. So alcohol definitely, you know, and drugs nowadays, you know, are totally a big part of our problem. But then why are teens turning to alcohol and drugs at such a young age? You know, nowadays they're doing the prescription drugs, they're doing the raves, they're doing the spice and the shake and bake and all these things that, you know, some parents never even heard of. But they're easy to get. They're available on every street corner, you know, friends at school. Marijuana is used, you know, by a lot of kids and adults, and you know, and alcohol is the big thing. Even though it's illegal, everyone seems to be doing it or can get it, and it's a big problem for teens. So, you know, the underlying problems, I don't know, low self-esteem or just peer pressure. What do you think?
Well, if I may weigh in, is that all right, Mr. Boyd? Go ahead.
Definitely.
Well, I believe it takes courage and strength to face up to any type of addiction. And that's the first step towards recovery. Whether it's alcohol, drugs, nicotine, gambling, self-injury. And that's important with our kids, is self-injury. Because they can't express themselves, and they don't know how to communicate very well. Their skills aren't formulated yet fully. So they tend to internalize their anger and their sorrow and their depression. And maybe in a little bit you let me talk about teen suicide. But right now we're talking about addictions. And but no matter how bad the addiction is or how powerless the parents feel, there is hope and there is support and there's help available. Please, parents, don't give up. Even if you've tried and failed time and time again, you don't have to wait until the kids hit rock bottom. You could make a change at any time. Recovery is a process, and there's bound to be bumps in the road. We call it slipping off the cart. But you can overcome the problems and the addictions by learning how to cope in ways that are constructive rather than destructive. And a lot of it is breaking the cycle. And again, there's another website that comes to my mind. It's a U.S. federal government website. It's called USA.gov, G-O-V, and it's for parents of teens. And it's USA.gov, parents of teens. And it's a resource that's federally funded. It goes throughout the whole country. I'm not just thinking here of Arizona, even though that's where I reside and work. I'm thinking of, because your program goes nationally.
Right.
It's a really, really good national resource, and it's funded by the federal government. And there's another good website called Parents for Teens. I'm sorry, By Parents for Parents. By Parents for Parents. And it's a site that parents can go talk to other parents, look at resources, look at support systems, look at programs, all anonymously. It's a great, great center. Addictions, you wonder, like you said, Mrs. Boyga, these kids seem to be self-medicating and abusing prescription drugs and street drugs. Personally, in my opinion, I'm 59 and they were around when I was a kid, but I think it wasn't so open. I think like abuse, it was there. We just didn't talk about it.
Right.
I think it's always been here. It's always been available. And I think now it's just open and out there and in the movies and on the computers. And more kids are exposed to it at a younger age. And, you know, kids are experimenting. And the parents just have to be there to be the ones that say, hey, you're going to school. This is what you're going to see. This is what you're going to experience. And I want you to know and talk about it with the kids. Don't wait until they find out about it in a school playground.
Right. And don't you think that, I mean, obviously it's important for parents to spend a lot of time with their children. And nowadays when both parents have to work and everyone gets home late and, you know, there's not a lot of quality family time anymore with a lot of people. And so the kids don't get that sit down, you know, let's talk time. And so a lot of times parents don't really know what their children are doing after school or, you know, when they're locked in their room on the computers or, you know, just when they're out with their friends. It's really, really important to spend some quality time at dinner time or just whenever you can to talk with your kids and have that open communication and know what your children are doing, know who their friends are, know where they're at. And that's not always going to solve the problem, but I think that open communication and knowing where they are and what they're doing is definitely going to help, I think, stop that negativity that's out there.
May I weigh in again?
Yes, you may.
One thing that I see very much in the kids that I've worked with for most of my working life is teen depression. And as you know, when children are growing and they're formulating and becoming adults, a lot of them don't have a really good foundation to build on with a mom and a dad in the home and mom and dad are working and everyone's healthy and grandma's around and uncles and aunts. The family unit has kind of been splintered. Would you agree, Mr. Boyd?
Oh, I definitely agree with that because the family structure has broke down. And I just want to make another point that you might agree with me or might not agree, but in my eyesight, I think our government broke the family structure down a long time ago when they started allowing our kids to call us 241 kids and all of that. And a lot of times they call in because they just don't want to mind the parents. They don't want to, you know what I mean, do what got to be did. So now this is thrown in front of the parents. And then you got parents out here that don't even care about what their kids do, you know what I mean? But I'm talking on both sides of the coin now, you know? And if you can't chastise your child, I mean, you know, it's got to be a problem in America somewhere because The government ain't going to take time out to chastise them and teach them the right thing. They just going to lock them up and say, hey, we got another number right here, and we got another $48,000 ahead or however much it is nowadays, you know. So that's why I say we have to definitely get educated out here, and we have to definitely know how to communicate with one another, whether we're grown-ups or whether we're parents and child. We have to know how to sit down and communicate and understand each other. And once we start understanding each other, then we can definitely move on into another page. But it's just so much anger, so much misunderstanding out here on both ends, parents and these kids. And I think that's where the breakdown came.
May I weigh back in?
Oh, without a doubt.
Well, it's my opinion that nowadays, mom and dad are both working. When I grew up and when you did, Mr. Boy, of course, Mrs. Boy, you're too young to remember. mom was home. And
oh, without a doubt.
Now you have other people raising children for you. You have the school taking the place of the parents.
Right.
You have after-school programs, although now they're being cut by our government because of funding, where
right.
sending missiles and tanks and planes over to Iraq and Afghanistan and other places.
Yes.
But
and
anyway.
They need to be concentrating on the education over here, you know what I mean, which is real. And I got to weigh in on what you're saying, because that's all the way real, you know?
We have hungry kids and people losing homes and cars and starving people, and we need to take care of ourselves first before we ship billions of dollars
anywhere.
Anywhere else. But in my opinion, sir, back to what I was saying was that other people are raising our children for us. And it didn't used to be that way. Grandma was there, uncles were there, brothers were there. There was a family. And I think that's important. Also, in my opinion, kids are growing up quicker. And I think that I'd like to speak on teenage depression, if I may.
Go ahead.
We've already spoken a little bit about substance abuse. We've already spoken a little bit about alcohol, and I'd like to go on to teen depression, if I may. Can I?
Go ahead. Yes.
Please do.
Teenage depression, like adult depression, isn't just a bad mood and occasional melancholy. It's a very serious medical problem, and it impacts every aspect of a teen's life. And parents don't always understand this. Teen depression can lead to problems at home and at school. Drug abuse, self-loathing, that's where kids cut and they have a poor self-image. Even violence and suicide, which is just a tragic thing. But as a friend or a parent or a neighbor, there are many ways we can help. Talking about the problem, offering support, goes a long way to getting the teenager back on track. And if I may continue, is that all right?
Yes, go right ahead.
Understanding teen depression is very important, that we understand what is it. Well, there's many misconceptions about teen depression, as there are about teenagers in general. Yeah, the teen years are rough. Oh, they're rough on everybody. Mr. Boyd, I know you remember, we call it the puberty blues. You know, teen years are rough, but most teens can balance it with good friendships, success in school, sports, outside activities, and the development of a good, strong, healthy sense of self.
Right.
And that's what's important, getting involved in things, your church, music, like you and I did, art, football, baseball, basketball.
Right. Get into anything except these streets, you know what I mean? Because the streets definitely ain't going to love you back. So you have to get into something that's going to give you something back, you know what I'm saying? And,
yes, sir.
And something back is a great education that once you receive that, nobody can ever take that away from you, you know? So that's basically what we have to start informing and keep informing and keep you know, bringing it to the forefront. You know, education is the key to anything. If you ain't educated, you just out here lost, man. You know what I mean? Bottom line, because, you know, you can't just say I'm no street hustler or I'm this, I'm that. You know what I mean? You have to really be educated out here in order to live and survive out here in this place we call America, you know? So that's a very important thing is learning.
Occasional bad moods, this is to the parents. Occasional bad moods or acting out is to be expected from teenagers. It really is. I call it the puberty blues. But depression is something different. It's deeper. It can destroy the very essence of a teenager's personality, causing an overwhelming sense of sadness, despair, or anger. And it can end in death. And I don't know the statistics. I haven't looked it up. You know, if it's increasing or if we're just becoming more aware of it, I think it strikes kids more often than we think. It's very treatable. But I believe only one in five receive help. And kids are different from teenagers, Mr. and Mrs. Boy, because they can't go get help on their own. They can't make an appointment. Kids can't drive to the dentist. Kids can't call and go see a mental health provider on their own. So if there's a kid in your family, in your life, it's the responsibility of an adult to understand what teen depression is, what it looks like, and what to do if they spot the warning signs. Can I go over some warning signs or you not want me to go there?
No,
go ahead. Again, this is just my opinion. From working with troubled teenagers for many years, sadness or hopelessness, irritability, anger, hostility, tearfulness or frequent crying, withdrawing from friends and family, loss of interest in activities. Now, this is really, right now, this is the one that's, I think, one of the most important. Changes in a kid's eating and sleeping habits. If you see your kid not eating or overeating a lot, something's going on. Pay attention. Feelings of worthlessness and guilt, lack of enthusiasm, not motivated, difficulty concentrating. And the last one would be thoughts of death or suicide. All kids watch movies, read books, listen to songs about death and suicide, but that should be taken really, really serious, and it's not something that adults should just brush over, in my opinion.
Definitely. And, you know, as a nurse, a critical care transport nurse, it's unbelievable how many teenagers we transport that have tried to commit suicide, that have overdosed. And then we also get those teens that sometimes end up on life support because they've been at a party and they've taken drugs or pills, prescribed pills, but they're not theirs, and mixed with alcohol. And we've had several kids end up on ventilators. And, you know, so it's really sad to see the high amount of teens that are, you know, depressed and turned to drugs, or they're just so naive and think they're invincible that they think they can take the drugs and drink and that they're going to be fine. And that's just not true. It just, it brings them a lot more problems, you know, whether it's medical or mental. But we definitely need to take a look at this and try to help these kids understand that, you know, I mean, if you're depressed, alcohol and drugs is only going to make it worse. Yeah, and if they're depressed, you know, they need to talk to somebody, or we need to, as adults, recognize that in the children. And, you know, sometimes just a kind word can really change a lot of things. Recognition, telling the kids that they're important, that they're worth it, that they're, you know, good at something, can really make a big difference in their lives.
I agree with you 100%. May I give a referral?
Yes.
There's a really good referral. Parents, if you get your pencils, it's called the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. again, it's a National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, and it's 1-800-273-TALK. And that's 24 hours. I believe there's a live human being there to talk with you. And it's the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, 1-800-273-TALK. And
Lawrence, let me just make a comment and get your opinion on this one more time.
Sure.
Children that are out of control, it's not the normal rolling of the eyes, telling mom, I don't want to do that, why is it my turn, simple things, that's normal. But for children to be out of control, cussing at their parents, raising their fists or their hands at their parents, putting holes in walls, aggressive behavior, that's not normal. And there's something going on. That's a big, big warning sign.
I would like to touch on that, if that's all right.
Go ahead.
Let's talk about teen violence. Some depressed teens, and this is important for parents to know, it's usually boys, teenage boys, who are the victims of bullying at school or in the neighborhood. And again, I'll repeat that. Some teens, usually boys, they're victims of bullying at school or in the neighborhood, become violent. As in the case of the Columbine School massacre, self-hatred and a wish to die can erupt into violence and homicidal rage. Like I told you before, in my opinion, kids internalize because they're not allowed. They're not allowed to express their feelings necessarily with a lot of people that they're not comfortable with, and also they feel they're not allowed to do so at school or at parties or with their friends. They internalize these, and it builds up, and it builds up, and it builds up. And, of course, something's got to break. Something has to go. And it turns into violence. And some depressed teens become violent, yeah.
Definitely. And then we have the parents that are afraid to scold their children or afraid to tell them what to do because they might be afraid of that rage or that aggressiveness. And we'll talk a little bit more about that, but that's called enabling when you don't allow them to be given the consequence for their action and they get away with it and you enable that behavior to continue. So we're definitely going to talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. We have Ms. Joan on the line. Are we ready to bring her on, Lauren?
Oh, yes, please do.
Okay, we'll let you go ahead and introduce her, and we're going to bring her on the line.
Are you there,
Hello
Joan?
Hello there. I'm here.
Hey. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm fine. I would like you to introduce yourself without your last name, of course. Briefly, you can give an overview of where you're from and what you'd like to talk about. As you know, this evening we're on the Streets Don't Love You Back program with a gracious host and of Mr. and Mrs. Boyd. And if you'd just briefly introduce yourself and your personal experience with raising your children and maybe your granddaughter.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say hi, Mr. and Mrs. Boyd.
Welcome.
Very nice to meet
to
you.
Yeah, welcome to the
thank
show.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And do I have to say where I'm from with my accent?
Yeah.
I think you're from the East Coast.
Oh, you got that right, from New York. All right, and I'm going to do my motto, and I'm going to say it. It's don't huff don't puff, and stay away from that stuff.
All right.
Okay. All right. So that's where I'm coming from right now tonight. And I've been listening to everybody's, you know, conversations. And you know what? I had a rough life, but it is what it is. And my daughter right now is incarcerated for the third time, bringing up my second grandchild because I moved away from New York and came to Arizona and raised my first grandson here. And at 15, he said, "My mom's ready to take me back. She's ready." You know what? She wasn't ready. And I tried not to, you know, let them get back together because I knew she wasn't ready, but I couldn't hold her back. So he went back to his mom. They moved back to New York. And right now, my grandson, 23 years old, is in a in rehab. He did 8 months in jail. My daughter right now is in Nassau County Prison. She's doing 8 months. She's supposed to get out in September. Now I have her nine-year-old daughter, which I'm trying to bring up, and it's very, very heavy duty. But I've tried all these programs here in Arizona, which are great, great programs, but I have a lot of stress going on with that. And it's hard. It's really hard. I'm doing it a second time, spending a lot of time. And, you know, there's just a lot of help out there. I have big sisters, and she has all kinds of programs going on. And right now my concern is my daughter asked me one question. I have not wrote her in 8 months because I'm just very hurt because she promised me, "Mom, this is going to happen again," and it did. And when you're into drugs, it's the drugs talking. It's not my daughter talking. So right now I'm looking for a book, and she could only get it in soft cover, and it's called From Illusions to Reality by Andrew Moss. And I could not find this book. I found one copy in hardcover. So,
hey, Joe,
if anybody, I'm sorry.
Are you plugging a book for one of your friends?
It's a book for my daughter that she was asking for me to send her in jail.
All right, I'm just making sure you're not plugging it for one of your friends.
Oh no, this is for my daughter. No, this is
okay.
For my daughter. Knock it off, Lawrence. You're talking from New York, girl. No, it's called From Illusions to Reality by Andrew Moss. I found it online with one hard copy, but my daughter can't get it, only in soft cover.
Okay.
And I can't seem to find it. So if anybody can help me find that book, I really would appreciate it. It's called, again, From Illusions to Reality by Andrew Moss. So if anybody can help me with that, I really appreciate it. But I've been going through a lot of stress over here, and I'm from New York, and it's just like right now, I don't even know where to go with this right now. But
John, can you tell us a little bit about your daughter to start with, and maybe how old she was when she got involved in drugs, and maybe just some of the struggles that you guys have gone through because of that?
Absolutely. Well, we came from, actually, I was married at 17 years old and was married for 21 years and got abused every day of my life. And why I had three children after that, don't know. But did what I had to do, was a stay-at-home mom, and my ex was just an abuser, and I got abused for 21 years. And 21 years ago, we didn't have where the cops would come and say, "Oh, you beat your wife up, you're going to jail." Now, all they wanted to see was that I was alive. I used to come to the door with my nose bleeding, fat lip, everything going on. My neighbors called. I didn't even call on him. But anyway, make a long story short, did what I had to do, and I said, one day I'm going to get out of this. And I worked for Kings Park State Hospital, and great job, saved money, and got away from the situation. And I said to my kids, you know what? You don't need a dad like this. You need to come with me, and let's get out of this abusive relationship, all of us. And they didn't want to, so they felt like I escaped, but they stayed, and that was their choice. Anyway, three kids later, everybody was just dysfunctional, and that's the way it was. So my one son, he's good, lives in Pennsylvania today. Go ahead, yes.
Please, what was your daughter doing that got her in trouble?
Drugs. That's what it was. It was the drugs. I never did drugs. Her father did. And I said, what would make you, you know, and you know what? I was a bad person because I said, you couldn't sleep over here. You had to be home at a certain time. And my ex-husband was like, oh, you could do whatever you want. And you know what? It is called tough love. And I believe that until today. It's tough love. All right? Because my granddaughter, who lives with me at 9 years old, oh, we have issues. We have issues. Because she got away with everything. She could eat anything. Because when her mom was high and sprawled out on a bed and couldn't feed her, my granddaughter ate anything she wanted. You know, and it was just like really, really bad. So I'm going through hard times right now. So right now I'm with the Arizona Children's Association. She has a therapist and medication. I never believed in medication. She has ADHD. She's bipolar. Because why? Because her mom conceived her while she was doing drugs. Her father, when she was 5 years old, committed suicide. All right? So I have a lot of issues that I have to go through with her. But I deal with it. And, you know, I'm at an age right now where I did it with my grandson, which was her son. And I let him go with his mom at 15 years old. Big mistake. Well, you know what, Grandma, my mom's doing good now, and I want to be my mom's, and blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, him and his mom, okay, please stop those dogs. Him and his mom's, all right, did drugs together. So now my daughter's paying the price. He paid his price, and she also has an 11-year-old in New York who's being raised by his aunt. From, you know, his father. His, you know, father that's deceased. And now I have a granddaughter. So it's really, really hard for me. I don't get a break in life. But you know what? I will never give up. I will never give up on my daughter, my granddaughter. Drugs, to me, is just the end of the road. And I wrote my daughter a letter in jail. And I said, you know what? You know, you talk the talk. But you got to walk it and do the right thing in life. And you have to prove to me before you get this child back who is 9 years old that I've been doing everything for, the therapy, I got her a big sister, everything. And she has a good life now. And she was a child who was in drug deals, involved with drug deals, and sleeping in a car with her, you know, clothes and plastic bags. And she has a great life now, but guess who she wants? Her mom. Her mom, yeah, because she wants her mom. She loves her mom. She misses her mom.
And I love you, too.
And she loves me, too. She's sitting here, and I shouldn't have been talking about that, you know. But she, my heart breaks, you know. And I just wish her mom would just wake up. Now her mom can't talk the talk no more. She has to prove to me that she's going to do the right thing, because I will never let my granddaughter go back to New York, sleeping in crack houses, waking up in cars with plastic bags and everything else. CPS called me and said, you know what? If you don't take your granddaughter, she's going to be in Child Protective Services. So I took my granddaughter, and I love her to death. I love my daughter, but drugs is the ruination of everybody's life. And this is what I'm dealing with right now.
Well, we thank you for sharing this with us, and God bless you and your family for sure. And have you found the city, the county, the state is working with you and your family?
Actually, her father never worked, so he was on SSI. So I don't get any child support for my granddaughter. So I share I have a limited amount of income per month. So this is what we share together. And you know what? I do it. But this is what I have to do. So we'll see what happens, you know. My daughter is not getting my granddaughter back until she proves to me that she could be a real mother this time.
What resources have you utilized with your granddaughter?
Well, I can only talk for the state of Arizona. And like I said, right now I'm with the Arizona Children's Association. And I'm with the big sisters, so she goes out with her big sister every other weekend. And right now we're trying to get her into a program where she leaves on a Friday and she comes back on a Sunday, and it's a great program, but it has to be approved. And she goes to a place called ICANN for the summer, and it's a drug-free program. So this week, actually, it's Spirit Week. So we have, like, on Monday, Team Up Against Drugs, we're your favorite sports team. Tuesday, Put a Cap on, Drugs Crazy Hat Day. Wednesday, Hugs, Not Drugs. Thursday, you know, Dress for Your Future Career. Friday, Take a Stand for a Drug-Free, Wear Green. And we do it every single day. And every single day is a struggle for me, you know. I love my granddaughter to death, and I just, you know, this is the second time I'm doing it, and I'm so worn out, and it's very tiring for me because I always put my life on hold for everybody. So, but I'm doing what I can, and I can't speak nationwide. All I can speak right. I get my resources from Arizona, and, you know, I can't speak nationwide.
What advice would you give for parents and grandmothers regarding their kids and their grandkids that are out of control?
Well, there's a lot of programs out there which I have. I have a therapist that we go see, and she comes to my house and we talk. You know what, I never believed in medication for the kid. You know, when I was young, there was never, diagnosis, ADHD, ADD, you know, because that's what my
grandson.
I'm sorry?
We used to call that looking out the window.
There you go. But,
well, it should be just kids being kids. You know, kids are active. Let them play. Let them run around. You know, nowadays they want them to sit still and be quiet, and that's not a normal kid.
Absolutely. They're
willing to call a lot of kids that are active, you know, ADHD. But, you know, a lot of them are just bored in school because they need to be doing different things, and, you know, it doesn't mean that they have ADHD. I think they're medicating a lot of kids inappropriately.
Yes.
That's my opinion.
I agree. But you know what? I'm the one that looks like the bad person, because when I go and take her to, you know, the doctor, he goes, well, no, no, she's ADHD, ADD. And I'm like, but what does she do? I'm not into drugs with her. And I'm talking right now because I look like the bad grandparent, because the doctor is the one recommending the drugs. And when I say no, then the outcome is going to be my fault because I didn't give her it. So I'm in a hard place right now, you know. I love my granddaughter, and I'm going to try to do, and I'm not a professional, so I'm listening to a doctor who's a professional, and he's saying, well, this is what you need to do. So this is what I'm doing right now, and it's very hard. It's very, very hard on both of us. So if anybody could suggest anything else, I'm open to suggestions.
Well, unfortunately, when you become a parent or a grandparent, you're not given a book.
That's right.
Exactly.
with all the answers.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the doctor is just practicing medicine, and and he might be getting a nice referral from the drug companies, too. We don't know.
Oh, we know that. Yes, we do.
Yeah, we don't know.
My granddaughter wears her little band every day, and it says, "My future shines bright, drug-free." And she wears that band every day. And she's reminded, because my granddaughter is 9 years old, she's been through so much, and she knows. And she shines so bright. I'm very proud of her. And she said, "Grandma, I'm not going back to my mom unless she proves to me," because she lied to her all the time. And, you know, I have her since January again, and she left, and my daughter I try to help, and she goes, "Well, I just want to go back to New York for 2 weeks." She was here in Arizona. And I'm like, "Well, leave my granddaughter." "No, no, she'll come back with me." And you know what? 2 weeks later, my daughter was in jail. And CPS called me and said, "You know what? If you don't take your granddaughter, then she's going to be in CPS custody." So here I am again, and I won't give up because I love my daughter. I love my granddaughter. It's the drugs talking. It's not my daughter. My daughter has such a good heart. It's the drugs that was talking. So, but she has to prove to me, you know, she has to prove to me that she's worthy of having her child back.
Well, I'm not a clinician as far as dealing with substance abuse, but I do know that drugs and alcohol have torn a lot of families apart, and it sounds like yours have been very, very affected by it. And
absolutely.
Yeah. Mrs. Boyd, you're an RN, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Aren't you a trauma nurse too?
I'm a critical care nurse. Yeah.
Yeah. So you've seen the effects of alcohol and drugs on families and youth also, right?
Definitely. Oh, definitely. It's torn a lot of families apart. It's destroyed people's spirits, you know, and like I said, we see a lot of that with the young teenagers now, and me transporting them, you know, with suicide and depression and the cutting and the hurting themselves and you know, and there's so many different drugs now that are very easy for them to get. You know, you got the spice and the shake and bake is the method they're making in pop bottles now, and a lot of kids are getting burned by that because it explodes in their face when they open the pop bottle. So there's just so many things that parents need to learn about what's going on out here with the drugs and the different things that are, you know, easily available. You know, like I said, kids are getting together and everybody's bringing whatever prescription pills they have from mom and dad's medicine cabinet or grandma and grandpa's medicine cabinet. and they'll just throw it in a bowl and then, you know, mix it all up, and then you take a handful of pills, and you don't know what you're taking. And you pop a handful of pills and hope to get a high. And then they mix it with alcohol, and the next thing you know, they're in the hospital on a ventilator. Or dead. Yeah. One person we took a while back, had a heroin overdose, and supposedly it was the first time. You know, and I'm like, it only takes one time. When are you going to realize it only takes one bad hit of heroin or one bad hit of something that can just kill you? You know, much less, you know, is destroying your liver, your kidneys, your heart,
everything.
And definitely.
And it's all, and you know what? What's the sad thing to say is my grandson, who is 23 years old, is in inpatient rehab. And the sad part is this is in New York, but he's supposed to be there. Could you shut that dog up? He's in an inpatient rehab in New York, all right? And it's all about money because he says, hey, Graham. I said, what are you doing out? It was the weekend. And I'm like, what are you doing out? He goes, well, I give the counselor on the weekend $50, and he lets me out on Saturday and Sundays. I'm like, are you kidding me? And it's the truth. He is out on Saturday and Sundays for $50. So I lost so much faith in the system. This is going on. He's in Brooklyn right now, and it's just, like, disgusting, you know. So I don't believe, you know, anything with this in rehab or out rehab. And it's just, it started off really bad with a dysfunctional family. His dad was in prison for 20 years that just got out.
Oh, my.
Yeah. It goes back a long time, Lawrence, a long time. Very dysfunctional family. And
let me ask you this. What's it like having a child in prison for you?
Oh, terrible. Just terrible. My daughter fooled me 3 times. All right, my grandson, you know, that I brought up and I tried to do the right thing, heartbreaking. And you know what? When my daughter was here with me for 4 months, I would not let her out of my house. She could not take my car to drive. I would be with her all the time. She's such a sweetheart. We'd cook dinner together. We'd have such a good time. We'd clean the house together. And then she just felt the need. Oh, well, I just want to visit New York for 2 weeks. I said, no, Deb, you can't do it. And somebody sent her the money. She left my house in Arizona.
No.
2 weeks later, she was back in jail.
What kind of drugs was she doing?
Okay, well, the gateway first was marijuana. That was the gateway, but that wasn't good enough. And then it was smoking crack, snorting cocaine, and then heroin, snorting heroin. She was afraid of needles, but she snorted the heroin. And my poor grandkids just saw her spread out in bed. You know, and Mommy, I got to go to school. Couldn't wake her up. And that's how the system got involved. And that's how I got involved. You know, so I'm trying my best now with what I have to do. And I also have an 11-year-old grandson in New York that's being taken care of by her deceased father.
No.
You know, so it's horrible. She has 3 kids, 23 years old, 11 years old, 9 years old, and I want her, she needs to get her family back together. They love her. You know what? No matter what I do, no matter what she did, they always love their mother. They always love their mother, and they'll always make an excuse for their mother, you know. So, but my granddaughter will never go back to New York unless my daughter proves to me, you know, she just can't be there anymore. She wants to come to Arizona, make a life. I'll help her start again, but she has to prove to me. It's not this God thing, all right? She writes me all these things, oh, well, God this, God that. Well, you know what? Nothing against it, but when you get out of prison, you need to stick with that. You need to go to the church. You know, you need to say, yes, God, I love you, you helped me, and but, you know, after you're out of jail, it's a whole different story. So we'll see what happens. She's getting out, you know, supposedly in September.
I just wanted to make a comment that we don't let our kids read the Bible in school, but we sure have it in prison, don't we?
Absolutely.
I think that's...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things backwards in our society, Lawrence. A lot of things.
Another good point I wanted to make that you had said is that no matter what, you love your daughter, even though she's failed you and herself and her children time and time again. You stand by her even though she goes to jail time and time and time again. And I think I've told you to prepare yourself for what's coming next.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of two things, isn't it?
Absolutely. I can't get fooled no more. I will not let my granddaughter, okay, go what she went through again. Because she believed her mother. She was here with me for all those months. Oh, she goes, oh, Mama, we're going to go back to New York. We're going to have a house together and be a family. And my granddaughter sat here and believed everything. 2 weeks later when they went back, my daughter got arrested. And my granddaughter knows now. I love her unconditionally, but I will never let my granddaughter go through that again.
Well, if your daughter doesn't change her behavior pattern, she's either going to end up in prison or dead.
You know what? I sleep good at night because I know where my daughter is. When my daughter was on the streets, when my phone rang, I said, please, nobody call me at 1 in the morning because my heart would sink. I'm like, oh, my God, my daughter's dead or something. Right now I sleep very well because I know where my daughter is, you know. So this is the life I live right now, and I just hope she realizes this time that I'm done. I'm done believing everything that she has said to me. Now she has to prove it before she gets her daughter back.
We thank you, John, for coming on and telling us your story. We want you to hang on here with us for a little while longer. We do have a couple of callers on the line, and the first one I'm going to go to is a friend of ours, a young man named Danny. He's a boxer here in Arizona, and he was telling me a little story one time, and I wanted him to share it. Danny, are you there with us?
Yes, Sam. How are you guys doing today?
Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
You know, you shared with me a little story about your father the other day. Tell us a little bit about your relationship with your dad and some of the reasons that you did respect your dad growing up.
Okay. Well, one thing is that my dad is a very wonderful person, and he's the one that got me into boxing since I was a little kid. And one thing about my dad is that I've always noticed my dad has a lot of charisma. He has a lot of respect for old people, young people. I mean, little kids like him, old people like him. And I always wanted to be like that. You know, I always wanted to be like my dad. And like I said, my dad started teaching me boxing, and he noticed that I was becoming really good even at a young age. And one thing I think that helped out a lot was that my dad showed me a lot of love, and he would always beg me, like, he would always tell me, like, son, when you get older, you know, you're never going to hit me, right? And I told him no. You know, I promised him that I would never hit him. And I've always kept that with me. And but one thing that my dad is that he's always worked hard for us. He's always showed us love. My dad is a beast of a man. You know, he had a bad reputation growing up as a kid from Somerton, Arizona. You know, and my dad never hit me. My dad, you know, of course he got me with the belt, but that's because I didn't listen. But the thing is, my dad never slapped me in the face. My dad never punched me in the face. My dad never touched at me. My dad was always there for us. So I don't know if that actually helped out. I'm pretty sure that is what helped out a lot, you know. And another thing, boxing, when he introduced boxing to me, growing up, you know, it gave me self-esteem. So I never had to be a bully. You know, I never had to show off or bully other kids or anything like that, because I was always secure about myself, you know, with boxing. And I believe boxing is a very good program, too, for a lot of kids because, I mean, like I said, I mean, even the U.S. government, you know, military, they use it, you know, to get people ready, you know, when they're about to go to war and all that stuff. And the reason why I'm going on about that is because I was listening to the lady, you know, about what should she get her kid in, what program, and, you know, about ADHD and stuff like that. And the thing is, I mean, when I was a little kid, they never put me on any of that medication, and I'm glad for that because I'm 32 years old and I still have all this energy. You know, I'm not lazy or any of that. You know, they never put me on medication, but I do believe that a kid that has ADD is just that he has too much energy, and you guys need to keep them busy, you know, actually get them some interested in something. Because the thing is, I didn't like school until I got older. Once I got older, I wanted to do school, but when I was younger, I didn't, you know. And but back to my point, I'm sorry, I'm just babbling on.
That's a great point. I mean, and that's all true, you know.
Yeah. Well, I was going to get back on the story was, I remember this one time, I was 20 years old, and by that time, I mean, I was already, you know, already polished as a boxer and everything. And I remember I said something to my dad. It was a cuss word. And out of nowhere, I turn around, and my dad's right on top of me, grabbing me by the throat. And the thing is, my dad's already older. I'm 20 years old. I mean, I guess we can say my prime. I mean, I could have, you know, hurt him or whatever you want to say, but I just remembered, you know, my dad, I love my dad to death, and my dad never hit me, and whatever I was getting at that moment, I knew I deserved, you know. And I mean, I see a lot of kids that are being very disrespectful to their parents, and sometimes I don't even understand why, because there's, you know, sometimes the parents are good, or sometimes the parents actually don't put that much attention to them. You know, they keep them in the room all day long, you know, or they tell them to watch TV or something like that, never really interacting with them. But I work with kids as well, too. And one thing I noticed is that even if they think they're from the streets or they might be, I noticed that when you give them a pat in the back or, you know, you give them some type of respect, they respond very well to that, you know. And I think everybody just wants to be respected, you know.
Hey,
I don't know. Excuse me. I'm sorry?
Can I interrupt you here?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. I'm sorry about that.
I wanted to ask you a couple of questions if I could.
Oh, yes. Go ahead, please.
All right. My name is Lawrence, and you've been listening to the program.
Excuse me? Your name is Lawrence, and what? I'm sorry. It's a bad connection.
You've been listening to the program.
Yes, I have, sir. Yes.
Great. Were you involved in the Arizona Golden Gloves?
No, I didn't get to go. I'm actually over here right now in Prescott.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, we have a great Golden Glove program that the boys are involved in, and they help sponsor. And I've worked with the Golden Gloves for many, many years, and I really like your point about your father getting you in boxing and some kind of disciplined sport. I think it's very important. I grew up playing Little League Baseball every summer of my life. So that was a very, very good point. So continue with your story, please.
Oh, well, I mean, I just had that's basically it. I really don't know what formula really works on kids. I think it's just paying attention to them and really showing them love, even if they're not yours. You know what I mean? Like, I think when kids go into gangs, it's because they're trying to look for some type of exception or some type of love, and these people are feeding them the wrong information. You know what I mean? And sometimes these kids on the street are supposedly showing them a little bit more love, you know, when we're supposed to do it. I have a lot of cousins, you know, and I remember being a little bit disrespectful to my mom, and my cousin that was 3 years older than me was like, hey, don't talk to my aunt like that, you know. And the thing is, we always had somebody there to tell us something, you know what I mean? I remember being right here in Prescott, and my friend from Long Pole, California, he was talking about, like, how he wanted to do a home invasion on this one guy because, you know, he had disrespected him and this and this and that. And I told him, look, man, you know, you're 19 years old. You got a 17-year-old wife with 3 kids. I go, I mean, what happens if he finds out who you are? The thing is like, I know you love your family and everything, and I know if they do something to your family, you're going to get revenge back. But wouldn't you rather just nip it in the butt and protect your family and not let anything happen? And well, you know what he told me, and I was surprised? He told me that, wow, man, Nobody has ever talked to me like that. My cousins were all from the same game. My aunts, my uncles were all from the same games. And if they found out what that guy did to me, my family would have backed me up to go do a home invasion or do something to this guy. You know what I mean? And I was just kind of shocked that, I don't know if it's the bigger cities or what, but I don't know. We just have to be more a closer community, you know what I mean? And that's one thing I love about boxing, because the thing is, again, I'm from Yuma, Arizona, but if somebody from Phoenix, somebody from San Diego, somebody from Coachella is making it in boxing, that's hometown for us right there. That's our region, you know what I mean? And we're rooting for them, you know what I mean? Even if that was our rival, but the thing is, we're rooting for them, you know?
You made a very, very good point. I've been working with gangs for many years, and we have a big, big gang problem here in the United States. And our kids, if they don't get love and discipline and respect and attention, like you said, Danny, at home, they're going to go to an OG, an older gangster, and they're going to find love and respect and money and drugs and sex, and they will go out and do bad things.
That's just an illusion, though. You know what I mean? That's all bad stuff. You know, first comes God, and I believe that we have to, that has to be our base, you know what I mean, our ground. And the thing is, like how you guys were saying that, oh, you know, it's funny how at school we can't read the Bible, but yet they can read the Bible in prison. See, I use boxing for my everyday life. It's the same thing. When I see a coach that's trying to teach a kid, like, and I know you've seen it at the Golden Gloves, so the coach is trying to teach the kid how to box in the middle of the fight when he was supposed to teach him that before the fight even started. You know what I mean?
Right.
He was supposed to teach him at the gym. You know, and the thing is I sometimes we do stuff backwards, and I think it's sad that we cannot have God or Christ in our schools anymore when this country was founded under God, you know, and now they're just throwing it out the window, and I'm telling you, that is a strong base. I mean, I used to be Catholic, now I'm Pentecostal, now I'm Christian, but the thing is I always believe in God over everything. Mm-hmm. I always believe God, and God has always shown me that He's been there. You know, and I believe we really have to teach our kids about God, about family. And the thing is, we can't be hypocrites, though. I mean, there's a lot of people that go to church and, you know, they're Christians at church. But then once they come out, they're rude to people. And kids see that. My kids, I'm going to tell you something. My son Noah, oh, my God, that's one of the reasons why I know God exists. My son Noah is so polite. I mean, since birth, he is so polite. He likes old women, you know, like old ladies. He'll start talking to them when he was 2 years old, everything. I mean, my kid cannot even hurt a fly, even though he sees me boxing and everything. My kid is so gentle, so good. The thing is about him is because what I see with him is that he saw every time that he sees me opening the door for somebody at the grocery store or saying hello to somebody, you know, to an older person or somebody, and my kid started asking, is that your friend? And the thing is, now I notice that he greets everybody that he sees now. You know what I mean? And he's very polite to everybody, and I think we have to show the example, you know, of what we do in life and how our kids are going to grow up and everything. And one thing I do believe, I think what really helped with my dad is that he always begged me. He always, like, son, you know, like, I remember when he spanked me with a belt, I went to the room, I found him crying. You know, like he would tell me, like, you know, what you're doing, you know, hurts me that I have to hit you and everything, but I have to discipline you. And the thing is, it would hurt me seeing my dad, you know, this guy that's teaching me boxing, my Superman, you know, and he's over here crying. And the thing is that I think that helped me a lot to stay out of trouble, you know, because the thing is, one thing that my dad was always proud of, he used to brag to his friends, oh, my son don't smoke, oh, my son don't drink, my son don't do drugs. And when I would hear him telling his friends, you know, that we're druggies or we're this or whatever, you know, it would make me feel proud, you know, and it would always keep my nose clean, because the thing is that that was one of my dad didn't brag about the boxing. He was bragging about, you know, how I didn't do drugs and how I didn't drink, you know, and how I didn't smoke, you know. And I think we have to we have to reward the kids when they do something good, you know, instead of, you know, they do something bad and we get on their butts about it. But yeah, when they do something good, we don't even recognize it. You know, I don't think that's good either.
Right. I think that's one of the biggest problems in America, when we don't reward for good, you know. But what we want to go into, hold on, Mr. Lawrence, and you hold on 1 second, Danny, hold the pace for a second, and we're going to bring this next guest on, and everybody just hold still for a minute.
No problem.
0548, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Jeannie Birdie. How are you?
We're great. Glad you called in. Thank you.
Oh, no problem. So I'm mainly calling in. I saw your posting on Facebook about this, and I wrote back on the Facebook wall, I said, well, what if you have a really great kid?
And you got a really great kid, that's a role model.
Yes, we do. Our son is 17. He doesn't carry 4.0, but we don't ask him to. We ask him to carry a 3.0 or better, you know, for insurance reasons and stuff. And he's already got a 2-year scholarship with the local college here. He's on his way. He belongs to the youth council with the city council of Maricopa, and he is about 2 months out of getting his Eagle Scout.
All right, that's a big accomplishment.
Yeah. So, you know, as far as kids go, he's very respectful to people. People like him. He's a good boy all the way around.
And that's a great thing because, you know, we like to, you know, hear stories like that as well because, you know, everybody is not out here disrespecting their parents. Everybody's not out here in the streets doing drugs, you know. So that's very much is a good weigh in, and we appreciate you weighing in like that. And hopefully someone heard that message and understand that you don't have to be none of that in order to be successful. Only thing you got to do is do the right thing.
Yes, you be there for them. We're my husband and I have been married for 25 years, and we've worked together with them. And you know, it hasn't always been a bed of roses. He did have some bad times, and we had found out actually when he was 10 years old that he had been molested for 3 years.
Wow.
And we almost ended up down the wrong path with him. He was actually starting to go down a bad way. And we moved away for about 1,000 miles away from here. And he told me on his first day of school at our new place, and first words out of his mouth was I'm mad at him. And I'm like, no, I'm mad at the person who did this to you, and it's such a good thing that we're 1,000 miles away because I'd be the one that they would be bailing out of jail, you know, had I known when I was here. And, you know, we went through and we got him counseling and we worked with him and, you know, we made sure that he understood that it wasn't his fault. And that's why every positive step that he's made, you know, we have made a big deal out of it because to us, every time he does something really fantastic and awesome and makes it into the paper again for something awesome that he's doing, it's just shoving it into the guy's face that hurt him and saying, this is what I think of what you did to me.
Right. You know, earlier in the show.
You can't keep me down.
Right, exactly. And earlier in the show, we talked a lot about depression and the reasons kids turn to drugs and alcohol. But you know, that's another thing that you brought up is that a lot of kids do still get molested, and there is a lot of sex abuse and sex crimes in our world and community. So we need to just another reason we need to keep an open communication with our kids. But that right there, you guys really did a great job overcoming all that because it really could have gone down the wrong road. And it does, I guess, with a lot of kids. We just don't see it.
Well, and, you know, here's the thing is I had a feeling it was going on. I didn't know with who, but I had a feeling it was going on. And I went and I asked them straight out. I said, is somebody doing this? Is somebody touching you where they're not supposed to? And he looked me dead square in the eye and said, no.
Wow.
And I'm like, whoa, okay. And, you know, I don't know what to do. You know, I was actually at a point for a while where I was, you know, reaching out, trying to figure out what our next step would be. And
what were some of the warning signs that you saw that made you think that?
It was acting out in school, totally uncharacteristic. I mean, he'd acted out in school for a long time, and a lot of times, he'd bring home papers. He'd look at us and tell us he's bored in school, and he would pull out a paper of fill in the missing number between 1 and 100, and there'd be like 5 or 6 missing numbers. And he had a stack of 20 of them. Okay, I can understand you acting out. Yeah, you're bored. But the things that started sending up some of the flags was his third grade teacher pulled me aside and said that he was trashing her room, and she actually caught him in the act of doing that.
Wow.
And she said, he's there's something going on. She goes, but he's not talking about it. And we could not get him to talk about it. We tried, and like I said, it wasn't until we moved away. And
so maybe he felt safe that he was far away from that person. He could tell you.
Yes. Yeah, that really helped. And I'm trying to get him to speak out about it more so that he can tell other people. I want him to be a role model in that way, too, to tell kids, look, you need to say something. You really, really do. Because until I actually knew who it was or what was going on, there was nothing I could do. I couldn't stop it. And I told him the only thing that made me a little upset is if I would have known earlier, we could have stopped it. I said, I just wish you would have let me help you stop getting hurt.
Wow.
So,
we're glad that he told you and that everything worked out for the best.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He had a, what do they call it, the mentor? It's a liaison in the court system for
right.
the victims. Advocate.
Okay.
And when we went to go see the advocate, they went and told him, the guy told him that he was also molested. And he said that he had found out later. He says, I never spoke up. I was too afraid to say anything. And the guy found out later that the molester had actually had over 200 victims. And when they mm-hmm. talked to the attacker, and, you know, they really pressured him, and they felt that he was being honest and everything, Josh stopped him at one. And the advocate looked at our son and said, you're my hero. You stopped him at one. You did what I couldn't do.
Wow.
So I think that really helped him a lot, too.
Definitely. To know that you can stop a person by speaking up. And that's what we need to do. We need to speak up. We need to teach our kids to speak up, to stop, violence in all different forms.
Yes.
Whether it's physical, mental, violent. Definitely.
Yep.
Lawrence, do you have any questions for her?
I want to thank you for calling. And,
oh, you're welcome.
And I work with a lot of sex offender kids myself. And you broke that cycle. You broke that chain. And that's so very important. And through your love and your paying attention to your kid and watching for the signs and working with the court system, you stopped the predator. And that's
yeah.
so important. Yeah, it's so important. Bravo. Not only is your child a hero, but you and your husband are also.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
And it does take courage to talk about it, and there is no shame in it. And
no.
And yes, that's correct. Very good job all around, and you turned a terrible, horrible thing into something that I believe has made your family stronger.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Well, if you guys find your way in Maricopa on Saturday, he's doing his Eagle Project Saturday evening in Maricopa.
Oh, where is he doing that at?
The Rotary Park from 5 to 10. He's trying to raise 1,000 cans of food for our local food bank.
Oh, okay. That's his picture on the Facebook page then, his project.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, we're proud of him. You know, we've gone to some of the youth council meetings, and we're working with the youth council, and we're actually doing the back-to-school drive with the youth council. But it's an honor for those kids because they were actually chosen by the city council to be on the youth council. So it's quite an honor
right.
for those kids to be able to be on that program as well here in the city.
Yeah, he was in the first one, and he was so proud that day. After we went to that, they thought it was really awesome, and it's cool to see all the stuff that they do with the youth council.
They do a lot of stuff with them. I was amazed. They are really, really involved in the things that are going on in the city. They do a lot of projects.
Yeah,
it was
we learned a lot going to the meetings, and we met a lot of awesome kids. And we hope to keep working with them here in town. Yeah.
Yeah, they're great. They're a bunch of great kids.
They are. We just thank you so much for calling in. I know you said my kid's an awesome kid. I said, great, call in and tell us what you did to make him so awesome.
We just standing by him.
Well, we thank you for calling because you do have an awesome story, and that's quite an accomplishment. And, you know, we're happy that you were able to call in and share that with us. And if he ever does want to talk, you know, let us know. We can do another show and maybe try to get some more young adults or young kids that have been abused, and maybe we can do a show just about that. But, you know, you let us know if he ever wants to do anything like that.
I will definitely do that. Thank you.
Or even if he wants to do a little video clip for the TV show that we have, we could do an interview with him, you know, whenever
okay.
he's ready.
Okay. Thank you. I will I'll bring that up to him.
All right. Joan, are you still there with us?
I'm here.
Joan, do you have any questions for Miss Birdie?
I have no questions, but actually my granddaughter wants to just talk her mouth off. She's like, can I talk to Lawrence? Right. Do you want to say hi to Lawrence and everybody else? Oh, yeah, she's ready. She's ready. All right, say what you got to say, Mama. Okay, hold on.
Okay. Hi, Lawrence.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very, very good. So did you have a good day today?
Yes.
Very good. What did you do all day?
I went to ICANN. It's like from 10:30 to 6 o'clock, 6:30. And I came home at, and then I played. Then I went back home, and then I ate dinner. And now I'm talking to you guys.
So
thank you for sharing with us.
You're welcome. We
have
yeah, thank you very much. Probably your bedtime, too.
Huh?
No.
Yeah, it's probably your bedtime.
Yeah, it is.
That's your bedtime.
Well, you take care of your grandma and keep doing the right things because we're really proud of you for doing the right things, okay?
Okay.
Okay. We'll talk to you soon.
Good night.
Talk to you soon, too. Bye.
All right.
Bye.
We just like this. We just like
okay.
this.
Okay. She's so
we
precious.
Like
it's past that time.
Again tonight. You know, you met Jonah. And you, Mr. Lawrence, and the other young lady, Miss Birdie, we'd
thank
like
everybody.
To thank all three of y'all for calling in, and Danny for calling in, and thank you, Mr. Lawrence, for co-hosting the show tonight.
Oh, you're welcome.
And we would like to give everybody an opportunity to say their last words or any shout-outs they would like to give to anybody, starting with Mr. Lawrence.
Well, thank you, sir. First, I'd like to thank you for the what wonderful work that you and your wife do in the community, and with all the things that you're involved in. I don't know where you guys get all that energy. And thank you for inviting me to speak and to be involved myself. I very much appreciate the opportunity. And with that, I'm going to say good night because I have to get up and work shift in the morning.
My man, and we appreciate that. And once again, you have a great tomorrow at the job, and God bless. And we're going to go to Miss Jonah now and give her last words.
My last words are I thank Lawrence for introducing me to you guys because I never heard about you people. And I love it. I just love it. And Lawrence knows I can't shut my mouth because I'm from New York. I'm from New York, and I just, like, outspeak everybody. But I'm learning. But I love the program, and I'm hooked on it right now. And thanks, Lawrence, you're an old man. You better sing me one song before you go to bed tonight. Because I'm into my oldies but goodies. You know, I do country. I'm from New York. I'll do a little bit country, but I'm a lot of rock and roll. So we need me to do one song, you old man. We need to do one song before you go to bed tonight. Is that cool?
We'll see.
We'll see. Yeah.
Hey, Mr.
Well,
Lord.
Thank you.
Hey, Mr. Lord, just like that show, Busted.
Well,
you know.
I'm having, honestly.
Oh, this has been a great show, man.
Oh, my
this
God.
This has been a great
thank
show.
You. I'm telling you, thank you guys so much
yes,
because,
indeed.
You know what?
Hey,
I will
hey,
be here.
Gentlemen, you topped the show off with that tonight, straight up.
I'm straight up. Nobody understands me, but I don't have to explain. I'm from New York. You know what
at
I
all,
say?
Bottom line. So we
you know
appreciate you. And you just
I
keep
say,
doing all the things you're doing.
I'm doing what I got to do because I have to. And you know what? They say you could take the girl out of New York, but you can't take the New York out of the girl. So I'm doing what I got to do
yeah.
over here. And I love it. And I will be here to listen to you all the time. And I thank Lawrence for introducing me to you guys. I love it. I enjoy
thank
it tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And,
thank you so much.
And we're going to go to our next guest.
Miss Birdie.
Miss Birdie?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Any last words you would like to say on the show?
Any last words. That's always good. No, just, you know, keep being there for your kids. Yeah, they're going to test you. They're going to push you. You know, we're going, you know, as awesome as he is, you know, he's going through another little round of pushing back, but just keeping him, guiding him, you know, just like a beautiful garden. You got to do some weeding and some pruning once in a while, and a little help and letting him know that you're there for him goes a
yes,
long way.
Indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So we definitely appreciate you coming on the show tonight and spreading that good word of what a good model is out here. And please spread the word about the radio show and join in every Wednesday night. We have different topics. And the next week topic will be injustice. It will be, you know, speaking on injustice from all over the world. But we'll be talking about two topics that night. A young man named Mr. Lonzi, who's been in prison for 28 years, wrongly convicted, and we're bringing that up to light. And a young lady, Ms. Dalhoff, out of Maine, wrongly convicted. So we just bringing all this out to the forefront, and we just need people to understand that you might have a family member that might get railroaded and injustice. You know, you got people that's in prison for doing wrong, and you got prisons. People in prison because the prosecutor hides evidence and just want a conviction. We want the right people in prison, not the wrong people. So we definitely must give a big, loud voice out on this injustice that's going on across the country.
Okay. And we just want to remind all the parents that, you know, if you're struggling with a child that's being disrespectful and abusive and you're frustrated and don't know what to do, you know, you have to go back to the basics and back to the root of the problem and, you know, find out if the child has been abused, why they're turning to drugs and alcohol, why they're depressed. Open those lines of communication and hopefully can open those lines of communication even before those problems start. And we are going to put all the referrals and references that Mr. Lawrence gave us tonight up on our website. And if you look at the resources on our website, we do have many, many resources for many different things, but we're going to definitely add these up. We have the drug and alcohol abuse line and the National Drug and Treatment Referral Service line, and the USA.gov Parents of Teens. And then we have the By Parents for Parents. And we also have the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. So we'll get all those numbers up on the website as well. And again, the website is www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.name.com. And once again, we're live every Wednesday night right here at the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. And all of our shows in the past can be heard 24/7. If you just click onto the website and go to the radio show, you can click through. And, you know, we've been here every Wednesday night for the last 3 years. We have some awesome shows, all dealing with gangs, drugs, violence, and abuse. People that have been involved, people that are interventionalists. So please get involved, and we thank everybody for your support. We thank all the people in the chat room. We thank all the listeners. We thank all the people who called into the show, and for all those who are always there to support us, we thank you. And we are going to go out tonight with a song. Let's go out tonight with a young man out of Detroit, Michigan. He just put his first single out, and this is his first single. So let's listen to it. All for you, Kendall Day. Have a great week. Remember, the streets don't love you back, and join us back here next Wednesday night.
Everything is all for you.
Everything is all for you.